Shall we bow our heads and we'll pray. Thank you, Lord, and praise you. You are holy, set apart. And you are worthy of praise and honor and glory. Even the nature you created reflects your glory. They do by the nature and we do by choice. So as we sang, O Lord, we want to choose to tell you, I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Help us to reflect on your word and be encouraged and strengthened, Holy Spirit. And Jesus, as your name is lifted up, we need you. We need comfort. We need counsel. We need peace. We need reconciliation. We need wisdom for our daily lives. We need wisdom to rule our homes. We need grace to handle things under pressure. We need to know how to live in a world that is crooked and perverse and wicked. But we thank you that you have blessed us to be called your children. And you have given us the power to live that life. Thank you for hearing us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Just want to begin with one of my favorite verses, is Romans chapter 15 and verse 13. This is how it goes. You just look at me. This is how it goes. It says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him. Now somebody can take it and just read it for me again. Romans chapter 15, verse 13. Yeah.
May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Yes, you can also read.
Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost.
Yes. Yes, yes. That's enough. I'll give you chances. Okay, all the youngsters be ready to read the word. Okay, as soon as I say, you should lift up. I should see 5 hands lifted up. Okay, everybody be ready. Okay, it's your privilege. And if you know it by heart, you say it by heart also. May the God of hope, right? Remember again, some of these verses, there's a reason why the words are put like that. The peace of God is different from the God of peace. The hope of God is different from the God of hope. So listen, can anybody tell me what is the difference in that word? Let's say, we read here, may the God of hope. What if it was written, may the hope of God? Is it different or is it not different? Why is it different?
Because hope was first, but in some Bibles, God was first.
Thank you. Thank you, Jaden. How beautiful. How beautiful. He's logically trying to think. But praise God for that. Anyone else? The God of hope and the hope of God. Is there a difference? I think there is. What?
Because God fills us with all joy and peace.
God
fills us with all joy and peace.
Okay, I think he has touched on that point. The source is God and God alone. If you want peace in your life, you must bend your knees before the God of peace. Nothing else is going to give you peace. Nothing else is going to give your family peace. Nothing else is going to give you peace with your children. Nothing else is going to give you peace at your workplace. Listen to me. This verse is talking about hope. May the God of hope fill you See, the world hopes for so many things. We actually, all of us hope for everything. Shilpa is there, she's hoping for. What are you hoping for next? What are you hoping for? Yeah, she's hoping for a job. Yeah? Anybody else? Not hoping for anything for tomorrow? Sharon, is there something that you're hoping for tomorrow? Yes, for her project presentation. Yes, she's hoping that. What do you hope for? You hope that it'll go wrong? Yes, it'll go well. That it will prosper. That when she presents, she'll do it well. Shilpa is looking, are you looking for a job which will kill you? No. You got to look for a job which is going to give you peace. Of course, you need some remuneration. Of course, you need peace at work. So you'll be praying, Lord, a job that is going to give me this. So we hope for so many things. But do you know the difference between the hope that we have and the hope that your friend who does not know Jesus has? What is the difference? Isn't both the same, right? Because everybody hopes for the same thing. Is it only us in this congregation that hope for these things? No. Our beloved ones outside of this room who are not at all inclined to come to God are also hoping for the same things. Then what is the difference? If all that hope is the same and we are all hoping for the same things, then what is the difference? Do we have something different? Think about the verse. We are reading this verse. The difference is that you and I hopefully are bending our knees to the source of hope, who is Jesus Christ of Nazareth. With the wounds, with the blood that was shed, risen, seated at the right hand of the majesty of the Father. The expectation is those who read this are actually bending their knees before the God of hope, for hope. And then the promise continues. May the God of hope do what? Fill you. What is the representation you get in terms of filling? You see it across the scripture. Abundance, overflowing. You know, isn't it so joyful? Beloved children, also listen carefully, okay? It is important that you pay attention to the word of God. Adults also, pay attention to the word of God. Why pay attention? So that you will believe and act. Faith without works is dead, James says. It just means this, that if your faith is not accompanied by the fruit of that faith, meaning, if you say, I know my God is my refuge, but you have not hoped in Him, you don't ask Him for refuge, and you don't come to Him for refuge, you go to every other place for refuge, and finally when the doors are closed, you come to the God of refuge and say, Lord, now you are my refuge. That is not faith. You understand that? Faith has a working, outworking of what we trust and believe. So when we listen to the word of God, children, listen, alright, that we want to believe and trust and act. Right? Beginning from Jaden, who is youngest, or maybe he is youngest, I don't know. Alright, everyone at all levels can demonstrate their faith in God. Come back to this passage. May the God of hope fill you. So fullness, remember, God is not a partial God. He will not withhold. No good thing does God withhold from those who love Him. That's the word of God. It's the Bible. Anybody knows the verse? I don't know the verse. No good thing does God withhold from those who walk blameless. Do you know the psalm? Anybody knows the psalm? Okay, no good thing. So Caleb, do you believe that when you seek Jesus and seek His face and fear Him and walk, that He will not withhold any good thing in your entire life? Do you believe that? Why do you believe that? Is it because I said? No, it is because you know in whom you have trusted and His word you are reading and you have decided to follow Him. You understand? That is why. That is why you will be able to trust Him, because He said so. He said, God said, anyone who fears me, comes behind me, follows me and obeys me, I will not withhold any good thing. I want you to note this, because the world is full of lies. The world is bombarding you and me with lies. In fact, forget about the world. Within the church also, you will hear lies. May not be purposeful. There will be fears that are put into our mind about our future, about our lack of qualification, about our lack of skills, about how we look, about how we don't look, about our abilities, about our talents. Amongst us, when we talk, very often we might also be pulled down, because suddenly you will think, oh, Aidan is better than me. Samuel is better than me. Greta is more intelligent than me. Alright, Angela is doing better than me. And so on and so forth. But remember, that is a lie. Because in Christ, if you are bending your knees to the hope, the God of hope, He is going to do something for you personally, customized for you. He will fill you with what? With all joy. Sometimes I wonder, why is God adding some words like that? Is it to kind of pep you up? You know, sometimes we give this pep up talk, or we tell children saying that I will give you 3 chocolates and then completely forget. The other day I promised somebody a chocolate and completely, Sandhya told me, make sure on Sunday you get the chocolate, and I completely forgot. Completely forgot. And after a year, Georgie knows, I was telling, oh my God, I have to go now. Somehow I have to get it. It's not like that. We are human, so we will promise certain things and it may not come through. We might even forget it. Maybe we never even meant it sometimes. But Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the God of hope, the source of hope, will fill you with all what? All? Joy. All joy in my life. Matthew, do you believe that this Jesus, if you follow and fear Him, this God of hope will fill me with all joy all through my life? Do you believe that? Why do you believe that? I'll ask the same question. Do you believe it because I said?
Because it's true.
How do you know it's true?
The Bible says so.
The Bible says so. What is the Bible? Because that is the word of God. Meaning God has spoken and He continues to speak to you. And you choose to believe and say at every point in your life, to say, no, my God has told me that if I come to the God of hope and I stick by Him, He will give me, fill me with all joy. Not doesn't stop there. All joy and
peace.
Is that really true? Aren't many of us struggling in lack of peace? So is that true? It is true. It is certainly true. Because God said it. The same reason He told me, the same reason I have. I have no other reason other than that. I have no other reason other than telling you that I believe that word. And I will go back to the God of hope. And I will say, Lord, the peace that I have lost in my home, if it is a home, at my workplace, it is because I am not coming to the God of hope. Perhaps, whatever it is, it's I am at fault, not God. Whatever it is, we can wrestle with Him honestly and ask Him and seek Him, but I am at fault at the end of it. God is perfect. Psalm 18 verse 30. What does it say? Psalm 18 verse 30. Psalm 18 verse 30.
As for God, His way is perfect.
As for God, His way is perfect.
The word of the Lord is flawless.
The word of the Lord is flawless.
He is a shield.
For all who take refuge in Him. The word of His ways are perfect. So, in some of our discussions at home, when we think about tough situations around the world, in our family, places around, it comes to the point where we don't have an answer. There is no answer. I find it very difficult to answer those questions. None of us have an answer. So I recommend this, saying that, let's get back to Psalm 18 and 30 and do what He asked us to do. Believe His word. He says his work is perfect. Perfect. His plan for you and me is perfect. I don't understand what's happening at this moment. I do not know. I am frustrated. But I know your work is perfect. See, that is faith. You understand that. Remember, Caleb, Matthew and all. Okay, I'm asking you questions, but I'm asking everybody. Okay, when I ask you a question, that means I'm asking everybody. The same thing. When you decide to bend your knees daily before the God of hope, who is the source of hope, He promises in His word, and He's not a liar, He's not a man that He should lie. He says that I will fill you with all joy and peace. How? The operation is mentioned there. How is also mentioned there. What is it? How? What is the next part? Huh? Oh, as you trust in Him. Okay, whose responsibility is that? Yeah. God's responsibility is being perfect. God's responsibility is to give you a word which is flawless. Flawless. Flawless means without mistake. And let me add here, God's word is transcultural. God's word is outside of time, if I want to say that. Okay, you understand what I'm saying. That's not the right word. What is the word? To say it doesn't matter whether it is 2000 years back or today. Okay, trans time, I don't know, whatever name. Okay, God's word is there. So children, I want you to listen. There is a debate that happens always amongst us saying, we are a new generation. And there's always an argument saying there is always a generation gap. There's always an argument. Just for you to know, this argument was there right from Adam's time. Everybody thought 20 years down the line that those who were born before them 20 years before are old age, old generation. Everybody thought like that. I thought like that about my parents. My children think about me like that. No problem. Their children will also think about them like that. It is certain. It is not bad. That is how we think. But when we slowly grow in the Lord and mature, we say, okay, forget about my dad, my mom. What does God say? Because I know He never grows old. I know He knew artificial intelligence when He created. Because He is the one who decided that time that He will raise up OpenAI and He will raise up Elon Musk and He will raise up. And He knows exactly how much wisdom He will give to them. And He knows which college they will pass out from and where they will fail. He knows which stock market will fail and when their companies will crash. Because He has already ordained that and He already has that in His heart. You understand that? Now many times I used to share this when I was doing my post-graduation. There was a... I'm not good at mathematics, so I struggle with mathematics, even though I was all through doing engineering. So there's something called finite element methods, which I had to use for my research, which I had no clue. Okay, just to give you a feel of it, children. When I went, there was one of the first tests at the college that I did, and I got 2 out of 20. When I got to all the rest of the boys were excellent. They got 15, 16, 17. I'm the only one who got 2 out of 20. And I was frustrated. I was frustrated because I know that professor is very well known, he is an author. He'll just go this long board, he'll start from there, start writing his equations from here. He'll keep going. I will not understand anything. And I was so upset, I knew I will certainly not get over this. I don't know how I will pass this. Because I just cannot do it. And then one day in our college fellowship, a gentleman came, an old man. When I say old, probably he was in his 50s. And then as he was sharing about his experiences in the industry. And then I came to know this gentleman is heading one of the mission organizations. And then he humbly sat down there and he was sharing. And he was telling us the testimony when he was doing his PhD. And he said, whenever he got stuck, he would bend his knees and ask the Lord about the particular formula. You understand the difference? He would ask him about this particular formula. Say, Lord, this plus this, whatever it is. Lord, I do not know how to get over this. Please make a way for me to understand. That is the first time I realized that, oh Lord, you also know finite element method. I forgot. No, literally. Sometimes we think that God, nothing is written about these mathematics and how does he know quadratic equation? He only invented it, right? No. No. And then I began to pray like that. Like a child. Saying, Lord, I am stuck here. And the important point, let me tell you, you know what, in my case at least, God never gave me the intelligence that was necessary for that. I still will fail that same subject with 2 out of 20. But do you know how God answered that prayer? Suddenly he brought a very intelligent, believing brother called Joby Thomas, who is 98 percentile in GATE, sitting with the cream of students, but a humble man who trembles at the word of God. I still remember in my campus, the first time I enjoyed the book of Philemon was because Joby Thomas said, George, he came, ran to my hostel and he said, George, there's something so interesting about this book. I said, I've read it, I don't find it very interesting. He said, no, sit down. Sit down, let's read this. And we enjoyed that book. I will never forget. He just told me about the love of Paul and how God's love, just look at this. A slave is able to forgive, and then look at this, in the prison they are believers together and he's sending him back. And so on and so forth. Why I'm saying, I'm digressing here, but who? Joby Thomas, a very intelligent guy, God sent to come and study alongside me. Why? Because God knows that I am asking God for wisdom and grace. And guess what? The project that we had to do, he was doing his M.Tech, I was doing my M.S. So I have a long way, he has a shorter way. But it so happened that the fundamental research work that I had to do is exactly the piece that he has to do. And so, guess what? We both sat down and he did all the work. Yes. I am so grateful to my Lord because that's answer to prayer. And when he finished his M.Tech and went, I had enough crossed that line where based on what work he did, I was able to do what was remaining. That God gave me the grace to do. My point is this. God is the one who enables. So he knows your banking and accounting, and he knows your physics and maths, he knows your geography, he knows the wisdom, he knows the church, he knows the pastoring, he knows, because he is the author of everything, he is the source of everything, he knows that you need hope. And he says, come to me, I am the God of hope. But come to me, trust me as you trust me. That job is hard. That job does not come just simply. Just you will need to learn on your own to trust Jesus every day for every aspect of your life. The faster you do it, the more joyful you will be, the more peaceful you will be, the more successful you will be. Appa and Amma will teach you, but they cannot put it into your heart. They cannot make you trust. You will have to learn to trust. And so you will have to ask God. Same thing. So I'm just using examples, okay, those whom I love, I'm just telling them. Okay, I'm using names here, but when I tell just, I mean Manu also, I mean Dr. Rooney also, I mean Shabna also. Okay, you'll understand, right? What I'm trying to say. You will have to learn to trust. You know, I say this sometimes. If actually God gives me a choice and says, George, what do you want me to change in all this creation, things like that? I say, Lord, this business of having to trust you, please don't, you just take the decisions. Please, I love you. You decide for me and just, I just want to relax. And then you know what God will say? No, my child, I love you, I cannot do that. I want you to love me. Do you remember my first commandment? It is all about love. And you cannot love me truly if you don't have the freedom to trust me. We all have the freedom to trust God's word, Caleb. And as you read scripture, remember, as you recite scripture, your job is to trust in his word. My Lord will fill me with all joy and peace as I trust in him. I will trust in him in every aspect of my life. For my business, I will trust him. For my decisions today, I will trust him. Because our God is a supernatural God. Please, I want to continue with that also. Remember, because there is a sense of hopelessness that creeps into our hearts and our lives because we are living in, as Pastor would say, perilous times. Right? It is not like years before, because every day you will hear hopeless news. And every day you will fear hopeless things. But God wants us to get back and bend our knees before the God of hope and trust Him for His word. That you can demand of Him. Let me use that in a conscious way. Okay, some people will get offended if I say, "What? How can you demand from God?" Or some people will say, "I want to claim from God." It doesn't matter. Whatever it is, if God says, trust Him. And when He trusts Him, use whatever words that you want to make it as strong as what He intends it to be. So we can go back to Him and say, "Oh Lord, You have said that You are the God of hope and You will fill me with joy and peace. Oh Lord, please, will You help me? Because right now, I feel that that joy is a little bit missing, that peace is a little bit gone. But add to that and tell Him that I know, Lord, Your ways are perfect because You have said. So no blame to You, oh Lord. Something else is to blame. And the best thing is to start with You. To say, Lord, I think I am to blame." Because what otherwise will happen is we will blame others for it. We will blame situation for it. No. You begin with yourself, and that is an exercise. That's a good thing to do. Let's assume that you are not to blame. And you feel, maybe I am to blame, Lord. And then what will you do? You will then, as Pastor says, always allow God to put His searchlight. So that He will show you what are your mistakes or what are your flaws or weaknesses or strengths. Allow Him to put His searchlight. And then, if you are clear, you are clear. You can say, "Oh Lord," you can be as bold as David said, "Lord, I have been," I forget the psalm. He tells God, he says, "No, I've lived righteous. I've done righteous things only." He says, you can do that too. You know, right? We can talk to God and say, "No, Lord, I think I did right here. I loved my wife. I loved my husband enough. I loved my children enough. But this is happening to me." You can tell. But you allow God to put a searchlight in your heart. And then if you are clear, no problem. You understand? We don't need to fear that. Sometimes we fear that. We fear that to think that God is perfect, His ways are perfect. Certainly the problem will be with me. We are afraid to think like that. No, don't be afraid. That is why He put the cross. He came down for you and me to seek and save the lost. That is the gospel and the good news. The good news is not judgment. The good news is salvation from judgment. From His judgment. The good news is we can repent and come to Him. And when you come to Him, He will give you grace. And His grace is sufficient. There is nothing to be added to it. His grace is sufficient always. So get back to that verse once again. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Remember, there also it is the power of the Holy Spirit. So in any way we have to come back to the God of hope and say, "Lord of hope, God of hope, I am yours and you are mine. God of hope, Holy Spirit, you are the one who will give me the power to live in that hope." And that hope is different from the hope that your friends who do not know Jesus have, because that is vain and that is empty. That is uncertain, and we have no certainty. You know when you are certain that your hope is right? As you trust in Him. Because we trust in God, because we trust in Jesus, we will search His word and tremble at His word. Right? How do we trust God? What is the meaning of trusting God? What is the meaning of trusting God?
Listening to God, what God says, even though it has not happened yet.
Okay. Is it only listening?
And believing.
Acting on it.
Believing.
Yes, but how do you believe?
Obeying.
How did? Yes, yes, absolutely. Obeying meaning you act. And God you can blindly obey.
Thank you.
If I tell you something, you can use a little bit of caution because I'm a human being. If I tell you to jump, you wait and think before you jump. But if God tells you to jump, jump. Because He already made the plan for holding you there. and he is already checking you there. He has kept angels there, but I can't do that. So when we fear God and trust Him for His word, we act and make decisions in our life. When? Today. Today. Today, as you hear this word, beloved, I will encourage you, if there's any decision that you are still pending to make, either in faith in the Lord, or to correct certain things in your life, or family, or children, or workplace, please come to that God of hope and say, Lord, I have wronged you. And please, God of hope, fill me with your joy and your peace. And in the power of the Holy Spirit, please grant me to be full of this hope. Remember, there's a background to what I'm sharing, because today in the world, the messages are always of a lack of hope, or I would call it hopelessness. There'll be fears that come. And as I used an example, for example, Shilpa, I'm just using names again, or Sharon, you shared something, what you're hoping for tomorrow. So your peace, now you know certainly, will come from whom? You just need to wait at the feet of the God of hope. And for every day, for as long as it takes, the God of hope will fill you. And He will make the right opportunity. And He will give you the right place. And when it comes, certainly you can be assured that that is the right place. Because you have asked the God of hope. Alright. One more thing about the word of God I just want to tell. If you go to Isaiah chapter 66. Isaiah chapter 66. Yes. So maybe someone else can read. I know a few of you have read Psalm 66 verse 1 and 2. Isaiah chapter 66 verse 1 and 2.
Thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you will build me? And where is the place of my rest? For all those things my hand has made, and all those things exist, says the Lord. But on this one will I look, on him who is poor and of a contrite spirit, and who trembles at my word.
Okay. Now you listen to me, I'm going to read it again carefully. Thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. Now remember here, children, you will know, and adults also hopefully you know, that these are some of the pictures that God wants to help us to understand. It is not that there is probably a throne literally that we see, or you know, footstool here. It's going to be far more magnificent than that, because He is the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. But He is just trying to explain and say, everything in this vast expanse, right, heaven or earth, and then He is telling His people, what is the house which you would build for me, and what is the place of my rest? Do you remember when David, who was the one who desired to build a temple for God? Who was the one? David, right? Not Solomon. But when David desired, initially if you read that passage, we are not going to that. Okay, God is asking the same question there. Why do you want to build? You can't do that. I don't live in, you know, temples or, you know, golden, whatever you build. But yet He honors him. But then He tells him, not in your time, I'll honor you. Through your son, I will build it. Right? But the point still remains. And the same point is also there in Acts chapter 17, when Paul explains to the Athenians. And he says this, okay, and God here in Isaiah says, heaven is my throne, earth is my footstool, Elon Musk is mine, artificial intelligence is mine, I am the one who gave mine words to create electric cars, and you know, EVs will come, surely will come, they will come and go. Right? Don't think that you guys are the ones who did it. COVID will come and go, cancer treatments will come and go. I know exactly which doctor will find which cancer treatment. I know. I know which year it will happen, I know who will get the Nobel Prize, I know who will not get it. Everything He knows. Everything He knows. Heaven is my throne, earth is my footstool. What is the house which you would build for me? What is the place of my rest? Let me add here, I'm paraphrasing here. It is probably asking you and me, what ministry will you do for me? I am the author of the ministry. Church is mine. Just as mine, I am building it. What can you do for me? You actually can't do anything. You just rest, relax, and just see, as Pastor keeps saying, relax and see what I will do to you. But first, will you come to me? Will you trust me, please, a little more? If you begin to trust me for your family, for your children, for your job, for your tomorrow, just learn to trust me. Listen to me. Listen to me. Call to me, no? Call to me first before you call anybody else. Then I will show you. Then you will see me using me in my hand. What is the house that you would build for me? What is the place of my rest? All these things my hand has made, and so all these things are mine. What tithe will you give me? What will you give me back? Nothing. Whatever you have is mine only. So God is reminding humbly, yet He will receive and He will honor you when you give to Him a portion of what He has given to you, isn't it? Yes, God will do that. But He reminds, saying that, wait a minute, think about the foundation first. Everything belongs to me. You can't do anything for me. And then He says, but one thing, okay, listen carefully here. One thing God says, this I will look. So, all of us must make this our goal of life. Because God says he values it tremendously. What does He say? Listen carefully. Can somebody quickly tell me? What does He say here? Mariah, what does God say here? What is He looking for? Verse 2, second part. But this, Isaiah 66:2.
What?
Yeah. Below that, second part.
And so they came to be, declares the Lord. These are the ones I look on before, those who are humble and contrite in spirit, and those who tremble my word.
Yes. Okay, He says these are the people on whom I will look. He says that. Right, He says, but this is the man to whom I will look. Do you want Jesus to look at you? Do you want God to appear in your life? Do you want God's voice to be heard in your life? Do you want direction and path for your life? Do you want peace in your life? The God of hope coming and interacting with you? Yes, then He says, but this is the man whom I will look. He that is prayer. He that is humble and contrite, broken in spirit. Whoa, that is a qualification that is a little difficult. Lord, it is fine if you don't look that much. Because humbling ourselves means laying down our crowns. Humbling ourselves will mean to consider ourselves rightfully as we should consider ourselves. It is not an easy thing at all. At home, it's not an easy thing. In the church, it's not an easy thing. At the workplace, it is not an easy thing. And God will train us. And you know how God trains us in humility? By giving opportunity for us to learn humility. And that is painful for the moment, but it is of tremendous value. Because you know what? The more you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, what will He do? He will exalt. He will lift you up. So it is not a loss. It is a win anyway for us. You understand? Humbling ourselves under the mighty hand of God will mean humiliation at the hands of some people. Maybe from your own family or maybe outside. But it doesn't matter. Because parallelly, as you humble yourself, God is lifting you up. And surely it will come through. Surely it will come through. Because He says that. Because He says that. In His time, He will certainly do that. This is the man to whom I will look. This is the woman whom I will look. This is the child to whom I will look. Let me add. He that is humble and broken in spirit. Broken in spirit. I don't know all the theology behind that. Some of you will definitely know better than me. Brokenness is not a pleasant thing. There is some breaking that happens. If I am right, I think in Proverbs chapter 29, somewhere it says, he who stiffens his neck will break it against a force. You know, you try to do that. He stiffens his neck. That is why you know, you have a helmet. I don't know those who know the principle of a helmet. A helmet is not made out of stone. It's made of a breakable material which breaks when you fall and hit, because it has to take the shock. It should allow you to bend inside. If you put a stone on your head and cover with a helmet of stone, certainly your neck will break. You don't even need an accident. You just fall down on the road, you will die because your neck will break. You understand that, right? So neck has to be flexible against a force. God uses that analogy in Proverbs. He says he stiffens his neck against God's nudging. He'll certainly break it. Alright? Brokenness is a training ground that God uses. So beloved, what I am trying to say, remember, all this is assurance to God's people who are washed clean by His blood, who are called by His name, and we call ourselves His children. He has given us the power to be called children of God. To us, this is instruction which is beautiful. Remember that in your life and my life, God does training certain times by allowing us to be broken. And it is fine. At that point of time, of course, you may not have the encouragement to say, okay, you may not have the enough spiritual strength to understand that. But that is why there is fellowship. That is why there is a pastor. That is why there are brothers and sisters. They will sit beside you, weep with you, and cry with you, and then read scripture with you, God's word with you. They will share their testimonies with you. And then you will go, oh, okay, if he has done it in your life, then he will certainly do it in my life. And your faith is strengthened. And to you fan to flames the dying embers, and our faith will grow, and the Holy Spirit will do that work. This is the man to whom I will look, he that is humble and contrite in spirit. And one more thing is there. Gabriel, you have a Bible? Do you know the last part of that? Verse 2, the last thing, one more thing he says. He that is humble, contrite, and?
And who trembles at my word.
Oh, when you read his word, do you tremble? Are you afraid that this is God's word? The God who is a consuming fire? A God who can punish me? A God who sees me when my mother and father cannot see me? God has written. This is not poetic, by the way. We need to distinguish between poetic and, you know, those kind of language. He means what he says here. Those who will tremble at his word. You understand that? So, I think we need to pray that also. Lord, help me to be trembling at your word. That means, it is a command of God. It's like standing. You know, when people stand, maybe a crude analogy, when you are at a vulnerable spot, you've done something wrong, you're standing at the dock in a court, waiting your your verdict. Those moments, especially if you've done really wrong, it is the most tense that can happen. I can't imagine, because you're waiting for the verdict, and you know it could be a life sentence or death. And you are standing there, you will stand with trembling. Very few people we know or we see who even at that time are so rebellious. But you will see people will break down because they are not hoping for that. Right? Trembling at God's word, because God is the God who created you. God is the God who sustains you. God is the God who alone can give you hope. The God, He only can give you peace. He only can fill you with joy. It is that God, a God alone who can forgive if he does not forgive. Even David says that in Psalms 30, if I am right. Okay, we fear you because you are a God who forgives. It's funny, it looks funny. You are a God who is forgiving, and how should I fear you? I should not fear you, right? No, we fear him because if he does not decide to forgive, you are never going to be forgiven. You understand? If he decides to punish, punishment will come because he's done it. He's done it to his own people. Which even today in the history of the world, we can see with pain in our heart that what he said to his own people, he is accomplishing. He accomplished through the years. He's continued to accomplish. Alright, so this is the man to whom I will look. He that is humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word. Beloved, again, remember the context in which I said, there's a lot of things that will cause you to feel hopeless. And they are real. Don't shove it under the carpet. There are real situations around us which, if we think about it, we will certainly be depressed. We will certainly be agitated. We will certainly run and make decisions in our life which are wrong. And in that context, I want to encourage you and myself and my family also, because the word is for all of us. It is to say, let's do this. Let's decide to take God's word seriously. And God's word seriously, remember, it is not theological points. See, many times, I mean, recently when we were talking at our home, we were talking so much about a subject. And then finally I was saying, actually the subject does not, it's not affecting us right now. Right now it is not a subject that is affecting our family or the church. But we are discussing a lot on that, and we are debating about it. And then I said, maybe we leave it there, because anytime we find that subject affecting our family or our church, we will certainly discuss it more. And then we realize that how many, you know, and we are agitated and we are not getting the answer, and we are looking and then saying, maybe we don't need to get that answer right now. Don't dwell on things that you don't need to dwell at that point of time. Maybe a slightly different context, I don't know, again I forget the psalm which David says that, Lord, I will not occupy myself with things too wonderful for me. There are some things which are too wonderful for us and too difficult for us to explain. Only God can explain it to us. Why can't we just trust Him to do that? And say, Lord, I don't understand, but you keep this topic with you. And but I'm okay today, because in my life it is not there. It's like saying like this, Lord, it's like this. Suppose there is peace in your home. You don't need to spend all your day trying to, you know, learn how to resolve conflicts. That peace which God has given you, use that peace to give peace to other people. When conflicts come, then you dwell on the conflicts, so that you will be able to do it. But don't waste your time, you know, dwelling on things which you are not there yet. You understand that? Whatever God has given you, if God has given peace to you right now, use that peace and ensure that prayer happening at your home, ensure that your children are being taught, ensure that you are visiting people, ensure that the church is being blessed. Continue to do that. Another person next to you might be going through a tough time and conflict. That person is not in a situation to do those things. Allow those persons. Allow that family. Allow those individuals. It is their journey to tremble at His word. It is their journey to make a decisions in their life if they have gone wrong. If they are going wrong. And if they obey that, then certainly God's grace will be there to fill them with all joy and peace. Right? Now, let me take a little bit of a, not a risk here. See, I keep repeating this. A God is a God of testimonies. Meaning that He uses and works in and through our life to prove His word. You understand that? So as we trust in Him and as we tremble at His word, God will do certain things with you, your life and your family's life, and your church's life. And that is for Him to take glory and for others to see and for them to turn to this God of glory. Oh, there is hope in their life. I am hopeless. I need that hope. And so they will turn. They will attach to you. They will come to you. They will seek. They will be proud probably. They might not even ask you. But they will walk along with you. And one day, God will take that glory and bless that family. Right? I want to read that and then close. Okay, if you look from the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 4. Okay, Deuteronomy chapter 4. So now Deuteronomy is the fifth book of the Bible. Fourth book of the Bible. Okay, do you know in Deuteronomy what? Fifth book, okay. So what does he do there? Who writes that?
Moses
writes that. But do you know overall what he is doing there? He is reminding his people, the Israelites, of what God has done till that time, about His law, about God's dealings. Okay, he is reminding them. Okay, Deuteronomy chapter 4. We are going to read a few verses. Can somebody read from verse 1 and 2? Okay, let me give those. Did you read before? Okay, let me give it.
Now Israel, hear the decrees and laws I am about to teach you. Follow them so that you may live and may go in and take possession of the land the Lord, the God of your ancestors, is giving you. Do not add to what I command you, and do not subtract from it, but keep the commands of the Lord your God that I give you.
Okay. Right, let me just read it again. He says, and now Israel, okay, Moses is reminding about God's law to his people. And now, O Israel, give heed to the statutes, the ordinances, which I teach you, and do them so that you might live, and so that you might go in and take possession of the land which the Lord has given you, the God of your fathers gives you. So to take possession of the land, you need to trust him and act on his word. You cannot act on his word if you do not trust his word. And sometimes his word will come in opposition to the world, the newspaper, some of your colleagues, some of your family members. It will come starkly opposite because it looks like you are lazy. It looks that you are afraid to take decisions. Why? Because you are waiting on the Lord. Right? See, one of the key things is this. When you get two opportunities simultaneously, what does the world teach you to do? Yeah, jump in and get the best and do it today because tomorrow somebody else will take. But it's starkly opposite to what God says. And God says, of course there's wisdom in that, but God says, wait for me. If you wait on me, right? So, you may or may not take what I am saying. One of the ways that I make decisions when it becomes like that very clearly is this. To say, Lord, if this is not from you, you take it away. I am going to delay this decision against all logic by 3 days. Or you, some logic. I mean, you are not testing God. Remember here. We are not saying here when you have to pay the school fees and say, I am going to wait on the Lord and pay next year. And wait for 365 days. No. We say, Lord, I will wait for one more day. By the end of the day, will you provide, Lord? I know. Or maybe the day after tomorrow. So there is wisdom in that. But let me tell you that that is against. There are family members who will tell you that you are a fool. There are family members who will tell you, I'm just saying family members, it can be anybody around you, who will say that, no, this is completely lack of wisdom. You have gone the wrong way and then you are just following some book which is predated, prehistoric. No, you say, no, I know in whom I have believed. You know why? Because testimony is going to come. Shortly later, you are going to share to the same persons, or if you don't share, that same persons will watch and say, I questioned them that time, but see what God has done for them. And God will do that. Alright? You shall not add to the word, verse 2. You shall not add to the word which I command you, nor take from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you. Let me paraphrase it here. None of us will add any commandment, that I'm sure. But we all will add some extension, some variations, some we kind of carbon dated or dated and say, okay, this might be applicable then, not now. You understand? The same example that I told you, does God know finite element methods? Does God know AI? Yes, he knows what you don't know. 20 years from now, what it is, 50 years from now, he knows. He knows exactly when your life will end because he removes the plug. When he removes the plug, our life goes back to him. He knows exactly that. Right, he will do that. Okay, so never be afraid. Okay, your teacher, your school, your principal, your job, your colleague, God knows that person is there. God knows who is troubling you. God knows who will encourage you. God knows how to change the principal at the right time. God knows how to change the CEO of a company. God knows when to shut down a company for your sake. He does it. He is the God. That is why we say, my God is so big and so strong and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do. Do you believe that? We sing it, but you have to believe it. Maria, you have to believe it. Haya, you have to believe it. You should know that the God, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, nothing is impossible for him. Nothing is too hard for him. And I trust in him. I will trust and walk in his ways. I will love his word. I will tremble at his word. And you will see. And he will prove himself to me. Alright? That is why it is. So God knows. I know we will not add anything to this word. But we add to ideas and limit it with times and seasons and say this is Gen Z, this is that is it, this is the generation that doesn't know, no, this is a digital age, this was not digital age, no. Don't add anything to it. The word is true then and now. How do we know? Because God is outside of time. When He gives His word, it is not with dates. It is written with dates, but His word and His promise and His instructions are without dates, without culture. It is all, transcultural, not without culture. But, alright, you know that it is applicable everywhere at the same time. Alright, let's go on and read. Let me read this, okay? I'm going to read this because I want to close soon. It's 45 minutes already, okay? Your eyes have seen, verse 3 of Deuteronomy 4. Moses is reminding, your eyes have seen what the Lord did at Baal Peor. For the Lord your God destroyed from among you all the men who followed the Baal of Peor. So he is reminding one more thing. He is saying, remember, you are my children. Right? I love you and you love me. But don't forget that God is a God who disciplines whom He loves. Right? There's a portion in the New Testament which says when in church, when people are not obedient to God and they don't listen to instructions, there is at one point where you need to announce it from the front of the church. We don't do it here. I have not heard it thus far. But God says, you know, and then He says, so that the others will stand in fear. So that the others will stand in fear. That is, example is, suppose I'm doing something wrong against scripture, and Dr. Ne tells me, and pastor tells me, and then they wait for a couple of months and still there is no change at all, and they warn me and things like that. There is a point where they will stand here in the pulpit and say, beloved, we love God so much, but this is what has happened. We have told Him and we have given Him a chance to repent, but we don't see it. We love Him so much, but I need to tell the church that this is what is happening in George's life. God instructs that. Why? He says so that the others will listen and stand in fear. So that those who are not yet in that trouble will fear. Oh, okay. This is the way it will go. I cannot hide. If this thing happens in my life a little bit too long, there is going to be a time when God will expose me, and it will be most likely through the church and through people there. So God is reminding them, don't forget what this same God did among our people when you sinned, and we know that. Okay. And verse 4, but you, again he is saying here, okay, listen carefully, verse 4, but you who held fast to the Lord your God are all alive this day. If you tremble at His word, if you humble yourself, and in your brokenness keep coming to the God of hope, you will be alive. You will be successful. Your situations will change, certainly. Today's troubles are not tomorrow's. Your mourning will turn into dancing. That is God's promise. And He will do that. If He doesn't do that, His word is false. He can challenge that by. Okay, remember, pay attention here, okay, please. Alright? Okay, so He says, you are all alive. Those of you who held fast to the Lord, holding fast to the Lord, trusting God. Where is He's gone. Okay, right. He was saying, right? Trusting God. Right? Trusting God. Holding fast. What is the meaning of holding fast? Huh? Yeah.
Like holding something.
Yes. When do you hold fast? When you know that if you let go,
yeah.
You will fall. If you let go, there is no hope. So you hold fast. Come what may, I'm going to hold on this. That is the attitude by which we need to hold fast to God and His word. Lord, I will not let you go. I don't understand, Lord Jesus. Lord, I'm broken right now, but I'll hold fast. I'm not going to let go of you. Like Jacob said, unless you bless me, I will not leave you. Unless you bless me. We can do that with God. I think God will be pleased with that. God is not going to say, what arrogant fellow this is. He's holding fast to me. No. He'll say, thank you, my child. Thank you for holding fast. I was testing. I was testing your faith. I knew. I'm going to bless you. Hold fast. Okay. Those who hold fast will live and will be blessed. And then verse 5. Behold, I have taught you statutes and ordinances as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should do them in the land which you are entering to take possession of it. Keep them and do them. You know the land that they were entering into? It was called the land of milk and honey or whatever it is. But who were the people there? People who were wicked, worshipping everything else other than the true God, whom God asked to wipe out. And he warned them, don't copy them, don't copy them. You are going in there, but don't copy them. You are mine. You are a special people. You are a called out people. You are there, but you are going into that land. I am sending you to conquer it, and I will go before you to drive them out. All that he says. But don't copy them. Don't copy their ways. And he says that. It says, go. Remember here, this is the Old Testament, but apply to ourselves, beloved children, beloved youngsters. We live in a world that is like that. Don't copy it. Do not be conformed to it, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Stay away. What fellowship does light have with darkness? 2 Corinthians 14 down. Right? What fellowship does Belial have with God? And so on. It says, come out of them. You're called. Come out of them. Don't copy them. Don't copy them. Right? And then, behold, I have taught you statutes, and we said that. Keep and do them. For now, verse 6. This I'll make somebody to read. Now, this is the promise that God gives. And it's applicable to you also. Verse 6. Anybody who wants to read? Okay, you have not read. Let me give it to you. You read.
Keep them and do them, for under that will be your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the peoples, who, when they hear all these statutes, will say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people.
Okay. Imagine this. Those who consider you as a fool for trusting God and trembling at His word and making your choices and decisions according to His word and word alone, you know what will happen? Once the conquering happens, let me add that, right? Once God sends you, once you trust God and move forward and go and do what God has instructed you, then something is going to happen. For that will be your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the peoples, who, when they hear all these statutes, will say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. That is God's promise. We don't need to wait to hear it. You understand that? It is okay for us to be fools in the sight of people, but wise in the sight of God. In due time, God will show those who ridicule you that no, you are a child of God who is wise and understanding. I wish I had listened to you earlier. Forgive me. But you will continue to prosper without any loss of time, because God is a God who restores lost time also. Right? So surely they will say, great nation is a wise and understanding people. And then in verse 7, for what great nation is there that has a God so near to it as the Lord Jehovah our God is to us whenever we call upon Him? And what great nation is there that has statutes and ordinances so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? Remember, this is written in Deuteronomy. It is the same righteous God who has given us instruction for 2025 and the years forward. So, as much as Moses is reminding his people, God's people at that time, may the Holy Spirit remind His called out people, washed by His precious blood, and remind you, saying, think about it. For which people or nations is there that their God is so near as it is our Jesus Christ of Nazareth is to us whenever we call upon Him? When Ivan calls upon Him, He hears. When Pastor calls, He hears. But when Alex will call, He hears. When I call, He will hear. When Jaden calls, He will hear. He's not going to look at our qualification, but He's going to look at the heart and going to say, my child trembles at our feet. Let's not be surprised. Some of our young children may be trembling at God's word more than some of us adults do, because we become so numb to the word of God. And sometimes, rightfully so, because of the situations that are battering our lives. And we become numb and numb. But we are not to remain in that numbness, but to come back to this God of hope and say, oh Lord, you are perfect. Your ways are certainly right. I don't understand, but I am holding on to you fast. And you will forgive me, cleanse me, change my situation. You will instruct me, and I am willing to take a step of obedience right now. And what great nation is there that has statutes and ordinances so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? To the young children I keep telling, and to the youth also I tell, that the most exciting life truly on this earth, enjoying every possibility of pleasure and joy, is here in this word of God. And I say that honestly from the bottom of my heart. You look at any topic, whether it is using your skills, whether it is the gifting that you've got, whether it is your marriage, whether it is your whatever it is, the best is here. Only condition is you need to trust Him for that, tremble at His word, align to His word, because He is the one who designed that for your enjoyment. The more you tremble at His word, the more you receive it for what it is, the more your life certainly will be full of joy and peace, given by the power of the Holy Spirit. Shall we bow down our heads as we pray?